Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All the hard work, let's go!
College football today.
Stage is set for huge top 25 battles later today. Welcome back to College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci going to be with you for the next 2 hours. We left off with LSU and Ole Miss. I think LSU wins this ball game. I think it's high scoring, though. I'm taking the over here. I see like 48-24 LSU gets the win.
I mean, listen, Ole Miss's defense is horrific, so anybody could score on them. I can't see LSU with 48, though. That seems
that's
like
a lot of
high number for me, unless you're getting into, you know, defensive.
I put 40 on them last year in Oxford. Darius Geis had a big day. I mean, he had.
I'd want more than 10 points here. As you guys mentioned, it was 13.5, 14 earlier in the week, or at least briefly. At 10, it's not enough for me to pull the trigger on Mississippi.
See, it's a contrast in styles as well. I could see LSU just running and running and running.
And that was a good point before the break. You mentioned the run offense with Nick Brissett and Clyde Helaire. I think they could jam it right down Ole Miss's throat. A lot of it's going to come down to Jordan Tamu and those receivers, who we've talked about a lot in the month of September.
And if they jump up early on Burrow,
I think it'll be competitive. I think it'll be an SEC West game, rivalry game that's competitive.
It's interesting, though.
Not something, to Gabe's point, I liked it better when we were making our picks. Right. It was around 12.5, 13, 10.
Yeah, I still like it here. We'll turn our attention to the Pac-12 battle. USC coming off a very disappointing 39-36 win over Washington State. Did not cover that matchup. Goes on the road to face Kevin Sumlin and Khalil Tate in Tempe. This is a 3-point number here with USC as favorites. They've won the last five against Arizona by 13 points per game. But USC, 0-7, Rich, over the last seven games against the spread. But I'm back in USC here. I think they dominate this matchup.
I think they have to, Joe, and I'm with you on this one. I like USC. I think just in terms of outclassing an opponent with their back against the wall, because even in that victory against Washington State did not look good. I mean, offensively, JT Daniels came through, 3 touchdown passes. Defensively, not good. Offensive line's been an issue all year long. But Arizona at this point, they have not. Kevin Sumlin has not figured out Khalil Tate and how to maximize his talent. He's just not making anything on the ground. J.J. Taylor, over 200 yards, I think 280 last week on the ground. I think USC can stop Taylor. He's a 5'6", undersized kid. I think they stop him and win this game in Tucson. I think they have to.
Yeah, Gabe, when you talk overs, I mean, you're talking about Arizona. They put up 447 rushing yards against Oregon State. This is a team that's averaging over 250 on the ground. And you look at USC, they struggled last week against Washington State, struggled in run support against Texas. I mean, they're only averaging as an offense as well, only 110 rushing yards per game. That's going to put a lot of pressure on JT Daniels. And more importantly, you look at USC's defense against a mobile quarterback in Armani Edwards week one. How do you break this game down?
Well, you know, if you told me right now, if I asked you, all right, both teams have played 4 games. Which one of these teams is 3-1 of the over, and which one of them is 3-1 of the under? You'd figure, Arizona, Wild, Tate, high scoring, soft defense. No, they're 1-3 to the under. As you mentioned, USC's defense, they just couldn't get a stop last week. I'm not going to say it was a disappointing win. I think it was a life-saving win almost for Clay Helton. Clay Helton, is he on the hot seat? I would imagine that he would be. It's hard to get into the mind of what Lynn Swann's thinking, but I'll tell you my own personal opinion. Clay Helton is not the coach moving forward for the USC Trojans. This, you know, Tate, both these teams have been such disappointments. How the hell does Tate only have 31 rushing yards this year? You know, everyone thought Kevin Sumlin, he won a Heisman, for Johnny Manziel. He's going to know exactly how to get Tate going. And I don't know if it's Sumlin telling this kid stay in the pocket and throw the football, or it's other teams. And other teams are taking away the outside, and they're keeping him in the pocket, and he's having a hard time there. You know, USC guys, in the last 40 road games, you know how many times they've covered the number? 11. They're burning more paper than Snoop Dogg and Willie Nelson combined. All right? It's a lot of leaves, man. A lot of trees getting cut down. All that money and rolling papers that are getting burnt. But to me, USC win this football game. It's a talent gap. There's just, yeah, there's a couple of blue chippers on Arizona, but USC are just stacked. I got to believe in the talent. I don't think much of Clay Helton, to be honest with you, but this Arizona team, and Rich said it, they just can't get Tate on track here. USC need to win this football game. Otherwise, Helton really will be looking for a new job soon.
Yeah, here's the matchup that I look. USC only averaging 110 rushing yards per game, but Arizona giving up 195 yards to opposing offenses. It's still Stephen Carr. It's still that offensive.
You're still going to ride Stephen Carr. I think he's got 21 yards rushing this year.
He broke the touchdown against Texas. He looked good. They just don't utilize him the way he's not healthy.
He must not be healthy.
Somebody's
going to run the ball because that Arizona defense is struggling.
It is.
Badly.
And so
that's
USC.
Yeah, but you know what, though? To the talent gap point that we've brought up and Gabe mentioned it too, that to me, you're struggling defensively, but you have Marvell Tell and Cameron Smith and Porter Gustin. Arizona struggling defensively. You have a lot of no-name two-star underclassmen. That to me is a difference. The other difference here, and the reason why I like USC so much, is as the season progresses, especially against weaker opponents, this JT Daniels kid is getting better and better and better. And Amon Ross St. Brown, the wide receiver, John Brown's kid, right? Equanimous's brother.
Last week. I'm glad you brought that up.
That kid is so talented. He's ready. He is college ready.
With Daniels as well. You can tell the kid's the real deal.
He's starting to turn the corner, Gabe.
Think about it, Rich. Think about the kid's start of the career. All right. UNLV, that was no cupcake. You know, it was. You get out there, it's like, whoa, these guys are pretty good. Okay, you did enough. Right. You win a football game. Then you're thrown into it. All right, kid, second game out of Matter Day. Yeah, you're going up there to the Bay Area. You're getting Stanford. Boom, we're going to Texas next week.
Right.
It's going to be some lumps and some growing pains. Ted, next year, this kid Daniel is going to be fire. He's going to be fire. You can tell the moxie, Rich. You can tell the confidence that he has. And you talk about those passes and catches. Great catches, pinpoint accuracy, you know, edge of the right on the sidelines or into the end zone. You know, USC ultimately just too much talent to lose this game, in my opinion, tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. And if you're going to gamble this game or bet on it, I mean, USC's a 3-point favorite. You can't get any lower than a pick 'em for that. So at 3 points, I'll take the team that was 9-1 last year against Pac-12 competition and won those games by 13.7 points per game. I'm all in with JT Daniels and the crew later tonight. I think they pick up a 17-point win.
And I would be saying, oh, I want to get in on the over. I want to get in on the over as well. But Arizona's offense has been kind of flaky. Yeah. We don't know what we're going to get from them, but it should be a high-scoring track.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll turn our attention to a Big Ten battle. Your Michigan Wolverines on the road in Evanston to face Clayton Thorson and Northwestern. Line opened up around 11. It jumped up to around 14.5 after starting running back Jeremy Larkin. He retired from football due to neck issues. That might put a lot of pressure on that offensive line to open up holes, but I still like Northwestern here. Michigan wins, but Northwestern plays this game a lot closer than people think.
I tend to agree. Michigan wins. Michigan's beginning to roll, which is good for the Wolverines, good for the Big Ten, good for Gabe, good for everybody at this point. So, you know, Michigan's starting to play well, and they're gaining confidence. Shea Patterson been a little bit more deliberate with his throws and his decisions. The defense is the difference here. Northwestern struggling offensively. Larkin is a loss, not a huge loss. Yeah. It's not as if he had really gained any traction as the star, as the heir to Justin Jackson. Clayton Thorson's just not healthy. And he's not 100%. I mean, we knew that in the offseason. We worried about it in the offseason, and now it's showing. So Northwestern struggling. I think it's too many points. When I looked at this at the beginning of the week, I mentioned before, my first thing I do on Sunday is I look at a matchup. I put my line down. I thought this would be about 10 points. 14 seems a little rich to go into Evanston. Michigan has not been a great road team. Is that correct, Gabe?
No, you're exactly right. And Michigan had never been a great favorite, to be honest with you. Now, for the record, they're 4-9 against the spread on the road, laying 13 or more points in conference play. So it's generally not a spot you want to be in. I think there's a little bit of an overreaction because they just tattooed Nebraska as much as they did. But let's be real. And I want to take, and I'm a Michigan guy, but I don't, you know, I don't bet with my heart here. And I like Northwestern because of the situation, because of the spot. But quite frankly, Northwestern just aren't that good this year, guys. And I'm disappointed in the entire team. I'm disappointed in the defense. I'm disappointed in the offense. I'm disappointed in Thorson. We're not seeing what we thought we were going to see. And I praised I praised the coaching. I praised Fitz so much coming into this year. And then sort of you're getting pushed around by Duke. It's a little bit of a problem. I'm getting cold feet about this game, but I already told the guys in graphics it's a best bet, so there's no turning back.
Well, here's the thing, too. I mean, Northwestern started slow. They started slow last year at 2-3 and then did reel off eight straight games. Now, offensive line was a concern last year. They gelled as the season went on. They lost to Duke last year, and after that loss to Duke and then Penn State at home, they just turned it on. They're still only giving up 128 rushing yards to opposing offenses. If they could force Patterson into long third down situations, this still isn't, I mean, we saw Michigan dominate Nebraska last week, but this still isn't a high octane Michigan offense. I mean, if they're forced to play catch up, that could be the recipe for Northwestern to get this victory.
Yeah, the reason why I like Northwestern too is that this is one of those, I don't want to overstate the importance of a bye, but after Northwestern absolutely collapsed against Akron in the second half, this team needed to hit the pause button. And Fitz is a good coach. I like him too, and I've talked him up a lot. I think legitimately he's done a great job, better than any of us would expect at Northwestern. I think this bye helps Northwestern. I think they have a chance to get the new running back in there to replace Jeremy Larkin, sort of regroup, catch their breath. You bring up a really good point about the way they bounced back last year. I think we could see a mini revival. Maybe this team gets the 6-6.
And we've seen Michigan struggle on the road in these spots and at least find themselves in dogfights. I mean, the last time they were here was a one-point game, actually.
2 years ago, right?
Yeah, 10-9. And I guess it was 4 years ago. It was 38-31. It's a lot of points. As you stated, we're going to find out how much pride Northwestern has. Good point that you raised, Rich, as far as the bye week, helping them regroup a little bit. Because that was a tough run they went on for a couple of weeks.
I like the under here. I can't back the over in this matchup in any capacity. I mean, I think Northwestern
needs to
run.
What's the number, Joe? You know?
I think the total was in the 50s, wasn't it?
It's 46.5 right now. My problem is, if Akron's dropping 39 on you.
Those were two defensive scores, though. Not the, you know. Alvin Davis had a couple of pick sixes in that game.
Look at Duke, who was 21-7 that game, a lower scoring game. I would imagine if you like Northwestern, you'd better be a low scoring game. Like if you're not getting in a shootout track meet with this Michigan offense right now, the way Patterson's zinging it around. If Northwestern covers a number, it's a 27-20 still gets you there, right?
Yeah. It's a lot of points the road to give up if you're Michigan. I think it's a lot of points to give up.
It's a conference game.
So 14?
14 and a hook. It's 14 and a half. So you win 38-20 if it's high scoring.
The problem with this game, guys, Northwestern have been so erratic. They look good. They look good earlier in the year. What was the game?
Purdue.
Against Purdue.
Purdue, yeah.
Defense looked good against Purdue.
That was week 1, though.
Nice, solid win. I know. You're right. But then after that, they score the first touchdown against Duke. I remember leaving here 7-0. I was like, yeah. I got to the FanDuel Sportsbook. It was 21-7. He never scored again after the fact. And then the Akron game, there's no rhythm or anything with this team so far. It's hard to get a read on Northwestern.
Yeah, they're going to have to start fast in this matchup. Again, Clayton Thorson, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, only around 753 passing yards. So we'll see how that game plays out. It is a 3:30 kick. We'll turn our attention to the Big 12 battle. It's Will Grier. It's on the road against Texas Tech. They got this victory last year by 12 points over the Red Raiders in Morgantown. They now open up as 4-point favorites, now down to around 3.5. I'm still back in West Virginia here. I think they have the better defense, and I think they get a 13-point win on the road in Lubbock.
Yeah, I don't know about the point total, but I would take West Virginia as well. This is the way I look at it. I think you have the more reliable quarterback, in a game that will be dictated by quarterbacks and passing games. As impressed as I've been with Alan Bowman, the true freshman from Texas Tech, this is Will Grier and David Sills and Marcus Sims and Gary Jennings. So I think that's just the more reliable passing game, number one. And with all due respect to Jamie, he knocked the West Virginia defense. This is, I get it. You know, this isn't, you're not playing Youngstown State again. I understand that. But when I watch West Virginia, they're just more physical at the line of scrimmage. Kenny Bigelow, a kid who came in from USC, former 5-star recruit, was never healthy with the Trojans. He has been a difference maker up front. So West Virginia, a little more physical than we've been used to in the Dana Holgorsen era.
Yeah, they're only giving up, West Virginia, 185 passing yards per game. They force defenses to methodically work down the field, and they're holding opposing offenses as well, Gabe, to only 118 yards on the ground. That's why I like West Virginia. And again, senior versus a freshman quarterback. If the game's on the line, I'm taking Will Grier in this matchup.
Yeah, Bowman's been unbelievable. Over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. I'm going to disagree with you guys. I'm going to have to go with the hot as a pistol Jamie Heath on this one. And Morency's pretty hot as well, just for the record, all right?
You are perpetually hot as a pistol. That's pretty, a given.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a given.
Consistently. Just call me Desert Swarm. I'm going to take the home dog in this football game. As we stated, since that opener against Mississippi, Texas Tech have been playing great football. They're a confident football team. I think it's going to be a tough place to play here. And I'm just not buying in to West Virginia laying points on the road. It should be a track meet. I would go with the over here as well. But I'm going to take the live home dog in this spot. I got to give credit. We talked about Texas Tech actually leading all FBS teams in time of possession. We talk about Texas Tech shaving off 100 yards a game from their defensive numbers. I like what Bowman is doing here. I like the fact it's an early game as well. Texas Tech has sort of stumbled in these as the day builds, and it gets like not everyone can play like Penn State or Ohio State at night. You know, the pressure builds throughout the day, and it's just, it's dark out, it's prime time. I like these early games, actually. I think it takes a little pressure off the home team.
2003. Texas Tech and NC State, okay, was a wild game. Go back and look at the tape. I was working for ABC in Lubbock. Okay, Philip Rivers and T.A. McClendon on the road to face Ricky Williams and Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah,
Texas Tech jumped up to a 17-point lead. They were up by like 28 before NC State came back. It was a wild, wild game that NC State won in triple overtime. And I, of course, picked the Red Raiders in that matchup. They lost by.
So you're looking for that type of a game. It would not surprise me.
Last year, I once lost $15,000 betting on Texas Tech against Oklahoma on one of these Saturday night games. I think it was in the Crabtree era. Didn't go well.
And Lubbock is a crazy place for these games. It's almost like the carrier.
I love that mascot. Now that's a mascot.
Out of a game. You're never out of a game in Lubbock. So remember that as we navigate through Big 12
play. All those drunk engineers.
We're just getting started. When we come back, we'll be picking up the other top 25 games. Keep it where it is. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morency live from Studio 34.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Back on College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI. Fantasy Factor is the only DFS site with exclusively single entry contests. It's a fun and recreational place to play with smaller leagues and flatter prize pools. They have great free promos like Survivor, Super Bowl Squares, and March Madness Bracket Contest. Sign up today. Go to FantasyFactor.com. That's FantasyFactor.com. Great little matchup a little bit later today in Seattle. It's BYU and Tanner Mangum on the road to face Washington and Jake Browning. Washington 17-point favorites in this matchup. They got a very lackluster 7-point win over Arizona State and Herm Edwards last week. But I'm going back to the well. I'm back in Washington in this matchup. I think they have the better defense, Rich, to contain the BYU offense.
They do, and it doesn't take much to contain the BYU offense. I miss the old days of BYU football. BYU passing attacks doesn't exist these days with Tanner Mangum, but much like last week, I think it's a similar situation. Washington is doing nothing easy this year. I mean, they're a great football team. maybe the best in the Pac-12. Defense is outstanding, and they'll contain BYU. But offensively, they've been so stale. BYU only giving up 17 points per game. So Washington wins. I think it'll be low scoring. But that's a lot of points. I got to take BYU.
Guys, BYU have been one of the better bets in flying under the radar. It's hard to get a read for BYU. They're not a flashy team. But let's be real. Opening win, Arizona. Nobody expected them to win that game. Hell, they go into Madison and win a game. The Cal game, close game. There, they've actually battled 3-1 against the spread. And my issue, and Washington are a good football team, but they don't really lay these 56-7 beatdowns on you.
Not any longer.
And they're only averaging 27 points a game. So I got to lay 17.5 with a team that can't even get to 30. That's my issue on this game. Yep. I got to lean BYU here. It's a leap of faith. Of Mormonism faith.
Yes.
It's a leap of Mormonism. But, you got to do what you got to do.
Here's the thing, though, in this matchup. I mean, when is Jake Browning going to show up? I mean, he's completed 60% of his passes, 966 yards. That's not a dominant effort. He hasn't wowed me, and he's turned
decent
the football.
Game last week, 3 touchdowns, only 202 yards. Yeah, I know.
No, he's turned into a dinker and a dunker. Where is the player that we
saw? You know what it reminds me of? Remember Logan Thomas with Virginia Tech?
Yeah, yeah.
In his first year, people are like, man, he's the next Cam Newton. He's going to be the top pick in the draft. But the end of his college career, like.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It's you know who reminds me of, too?
Sort of regress. And Browning, remember when he was a freshman? Wow, this kid's an elite quarterback. Sort of regressed or hasn't gotten better.
You know what trajectory, Gabe, that it reminds me of? It reminds me of JT Barrett. JT Barrett, year one, was fifth in the Heisman vote.
You're right.
And then as it went on, you were like, hey, do we have a replacement for this kid? Do we have somebody better than JT Barrett at Ohio State? They don't have anybody better than Jake Browning. He's fine, but he's not great.
He's a different quarterback, though, than JT Barrett.
I'm not saying they're the same quarterback. I'm saying their career trajectories have been similar. They started off on fire.
When you consider how well Washington's defense has played and their skill positions, I'm not throwing Browning under the bus here, but if you can give him a little bit more, they could be a real national
BYU
contender.
BYU is a good defense. Listen, I'm glad you brought up Wisconsin and Arizona because both of those games were on the road. So BYU is not going to be afraid
this
of traveling
to
Seattle.
This is where the them being men helps. And I talk about this, and we were talking about angles, and you guys were asking Jamie questions. How do you approach this? How do you approach that? Whether it's college basketball or college football, guys, age counts. We're talking about men versus kids. The fact of the matter is, guys, half the BYU Cougar team are older than like 60% of the NFL. like Mangum is older than like 10 NFL quarterbacks, actually.
Yeah, that's
like literally and figuratively.
That's astonishing.
Literally and figuratively. Like they're older, they're mature.
Yes.
So these road trips aren't the same. You don't have to worry about the BYU kids stealing sunglasses. They're getting drunk tonight, you know?
They've had Mormon missions in Peru and Argentina, so going to Seattle is not going to faze them.
Yeah. Washington only given up 154 passing yards to opposing offenses, so you would think the under comes in here.
Yeah.
Back-to-back unders for Washington against Utah and Arizona State. They started fast in that ballgame. The under and over was right around the area.
So low, 46.5. It's hard to pull the trigger.
I can't take the under here. I would take the over in this matchup. If Washington, let's say Washington doesn't cover and they put up 28. I mean, I could see BYU getting 21.
You know what the score is? Sort of 30-17.
I would still take Washington.
Would that surprise you guys? 30-17, 34-17, 31-17?
No.
This could be the game, though, that Washington breaks out. I mean, again, I would still.
I don't think they do offensively. I think they are who they are. I don't see them getting more than 30 points.
I don't think they're an elite team, I'll tell you that. I don't think
they're elite. No, I agree. I agree.
I mean, secondary.
Defensively, they're elite.
But from the secondary perspective, I'm not sold on that front seven being
elite.
Well,
Greg Gaines on the interior is an outstanding run stopper. Ben Burke-Hervin last week, 20 tackles, couple tackles for loss.
Has Peterson complained about the start time?
He often does.
Yeah, he doesn't like the early games. He doesn't like the late. Oh, we're playing early on the East Coast. Oh, we're a late game on ESPN. So you got a problem now, coach? You're at 8:30 at night. Like, the guy's never happy.
Yeah.
He's never happy. I like
usually you play the refs. This guy's playing the TV executives.
No, he plays the networks. Yeah, I mean, Herbstreit actually called him out and said, hey, coach, here are the ratings when you play at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Here are the ratings. So you want to recruit or what? Like, these coaches just complain for the sake of complaining now.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that game is at, I think it's a 9:30 kick.
8:30. It's Fox.
Fox,
so you got
at 8:30.
Michigan Northwestern leading into.
Is that
to
Gus on that game? Do we get Gus Johnson in that
Gus
game?
Gus Johnson's going to be on the.
That's a good question. Gus will get Michigan Northwestern, I would imagine.
Is that a Fox game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is. I'll go over to Awful Announcing.
They probably have the pairing.
Check that because
that is a Fox game at 4:30.
We'll see who's on that call. But let's turn our attention to the SEC game between Kentucky and South Carolina. I was very impressed with the way South Carolina bounced back and got that road win over a gutty Vanderbilt team. Now they face a hot team in Kentucky. I break this game down. I think the better quarterback here is Jake Bentley. Terry Wilson playing very well. Benny Snell, one of the most underrated running backs in the country.
Yes, sir.
Possible Heisman contender, guys. But I'm back in Will Muschamp.
Physical, Joe. The physicality of Kentucky's lines have been impressive. Like they're smashing people in the trenches, this team.
They're only giving up, Rich, 106 rushing yards per game, like Gabe mentioned. Last year, it was 178 for Kentucky. 2 years ago, 232. So they're holding opposing offenses in check in terms of run support and forcing third down long situations. But I still like South Carolina's speed in this matchup.
It's a toss-up game. It's a great game that we didn't see coming. I mean, with SEC East football, there weren't a lot of key matchups. You know, maybe a cocktail party.
SEC's like very good this year. I didn't see this coming either. I thought
Missouri's
it was overrated.
Missouri played big time too. Yeah. You got Missouri?
Yeah. I mean, listen, South Carolina, Kentucky is an outstanding matchup. Kentucky defensively, look what they did against Mississippi State last week, 28-7. Did not see that coming. I mean, that was a dominant performance. It's defense, it's the running game of Benny Snell, just enough from Terry Wilson offensively. I think Kentucky continues to roll, but would not be the least bit shocked if South Carolina wins. Listen to these numbers. South Carolina, 7 straight wins against the spread as a road dog. Kentucky as a home favorite, 8 consecutive losses. So the trends are pointing towards South Carolina.
This is where the line movement, this is why I'm sitting in the perch. This is the gambler's perch up here. Yeah.
The gambler's perch.
South Carolina now favorites.
Ah. Yeah, they've been favored as South of Carolina. Last night, though.
No.
But it's bounced all week. It was South Carolina open, and so Kentucky were minus 1.5.
1 point,
Joe.
Maybe?
Now we'll get to the latest one. It's 1.5, I believe. Let me hit refresh once again here. Guys, you know, people talk. Stoops is doing a hell of a job here. We talk about the physicality in the lines. They have a distinct home field advantage going right now. The confidence after beating Florida for the first time in 31 years. People worried about a letdown this week. I don't see a letdown. They didn't have a letdown after you beat the Florida Gators for the first time in 31 years. To me, last week getting the points was just a gift. I wish we could do it all over again with Kentucky. And I'm going to go back to the well with the Wildcats here one more time. We talk about teams not getting into a rhythm, guys. Look, the Marshall game was canceled, right, against the Gamecocks. They haven't really gotten into a flow yet this year. And I'm not the biggest Will Muschamp fan. I'm going to go Team Stoops on this one. Give me Kentucky and that physical. Give me Team Snell. Snell's like another Kentucky winner to me.
Yeah, I'm taking South Carolina. They're averaging 279 passing yards per game. I look for Bentley to break out. I think they get a 13-17 point win in this ball game a little bit later today. We'll turn our attention to another SEC game. It's between Tennessee and Georgia. Georgia picked up this win last year in dominating fashion, 41-0. Tennessee got blown out at home against Florida. They now have to go on the road as 31.5-point underdogs. Playing better defensively under Jeremy Pruitt. It's a tall order. You saw Georgia get the win over Missouri. Did not cover. I like Tennessee here to keep this game close, but Georgia does get the win in Athens.
Yeah, Georgia pushes last week. That was 14.
They pushed on your screen. They were 14.
No, when we put the sheet out.
In Vegas, it
when
was
we
a
put the sheet down and made our picks, it was 14. Joe decides to choose
in
the
Vegas
line.
In Vegas and in the sports book.
Let the record show, folks,
Georgia,
that when we put
minus
our
15 in a hook.
Which is not the way we base it. We base it on when we put our picks in. So that was a push. It was 14, just so folks know that between Georgia and Missouri. Joe dead wrong again.
I think this will look. Too. I bet it. I ended up with the push. I wanted the 14 and a half, but when I clicked, I ended up getting
the push. It was 14.
Right.
Exactly. So
unless you went to the
last
window.
Year, 41-0. I think it'll be a similar game this year. I can't see Tennessee mustering up the offense to score points on Georgia. Georgia, I thought, showed some weakness last week. I think Kirby Smart coached them hard this week because they were kind of a little bit up and down against Missouri. I think they paced Tennessee. I can't see
what's
Tennessee.
Pace? Put a number on it.
Yeah, I think it'll
31
look.
31.5 points.
It's 31.5.
Yeah, I'll say it's 41-6.
41-6. I'll take the 31 and a hook, and I'll take Tennessee in the
I'm saying Georgia covers.
You think
normally I don't want to lay numbers like this. Yeah, I'm saying 48-14.
48-14.
34-point win. Squeezes over the number. I like the over here. But can Tennessee score? Can Tennessee?
I don't like Garantano, but I think they have to run the football.
I don't like him either. I don't know why he's starting. Exactly. But how many? You're a Georgia guy. Listen, Georgia's going to get. Tennessee's playing better defense, but I imagine Georgia gets to at least 41, right? At least 41. 45, maybe 48.
I don't know that much. Let's keep in mind the Jeremy Pruitt factor. He coached there a few years ago, but more importantly, coached against them in the national championship game for Alabama. He was the defensive coordinator.
Gators put 47 up on him.
Yeah, but there are a lot of turnovers in that ball game for Florida. They converted.
West Virginia put 40 on them.
West Virginia's an elite offense, though. I mean,
I know there's a lot you're making. You're coming back at me here. You're like a good defender in court here.
I am. I would only back Tennessee with the points. I mean, total wise, they could get blown out in this matchup. Wouldn't shock me. Again, I think they're going to have to run the football to keep this game close. Keep Jake Fromm. Keep those running backs on the sidelines. Again, I could see this ball game 28-17 Georgia gets a win.
28-17? No, that's not happening.
Come on. If it's 28-17, then there's panic time in Athens right now. Yeah, they're not going to be happy.
Time. You're going to get a close game every now and then.
Not against this Tennessee team.
Blow out everybody.
This is a bad Tennessee team. I mean, they don't. They're young. They just don't have the tie. I think Georgia was iffy last week and inconsistent against Missouri. I think they come out firing on all cylinders, Holyfield out of the backfield, Swift out of the backfield. I think they roll with ease.
All right, we got a ton of guys in the chat. We appreciate everybody tuning in. They've been tuning in all morning here. We got our boy James Ross, Bobby, regular viewer of the network. What up, Bobby in Vermont, Degenerate Dean and crew. So a couple of games, guys. James Ross wants to ask about Virginia Tech and Duke.
Mm. Love a lot Virginia of people really, Tech
yeah, you like Va Tech a lot there?
I'll tell you this. Here's the way I break down Va Tech and Duke. Now, Daniel Jones, I've heard he might start for Duke in this ballgame. You're talking about a team in Virginia Tech that got this victory last year. They won this ballgame by 21 points. But more importantly, this was a defense last week under Bud Foster that allowed 636 total yards to Old Dominion, the most in 26 years for a Virginia Tech defense. They're still only giving up 88 rushing yards per game. Duke center might be out of that matchup. That might play into this ball game. And when you look at Willis overall, he impressed me in limited time. I think he can move the football. I like Virginia Tech as a live dog later today.
I like Duke. I mean, I've been impressed by the Duke defense. I think the worst thing for the Blue Devils would be if Daniel Jones plays, quite frankly, because Quentin Harris is starting to find a little rhythm. Let's give Daniel Jones a little more time to heal that collarbone, get to be 100%. He could be rusty against Virginia Tech. I'll take the different approach. Yeah, they might be embarrassed and Bud Foster's pissed off at how badly they played defensively, but there's a reason for that. Maybe they're overrated. Maybe that win over Florida State in week one, not so impressive because Florida State is awful. So I don't think Virginia Tech necessarily bounced back that quickly. Ryan Willis is a cast off from Kansas, couldn't win the Kansas starting job. So that's going to be a loss not having Josh Jackson on offense. Duke is headed in the right direction. I think they continue.
I'd like to be getting more than I was in this game.
That's why I like Va Tech. It's less than a touchdown. They lost.
I lean Tech too in a bounce back spot, Joe.
I like them here.
But I've lost money betting against Duke. And what else do we got? We got Pitt and Central Florida.
Love Pittsburgh. This is the type of game that Pittsburgh shows up for. Back-to-back years, you look at Clemson 2 years ago as a 19.5-point underdog. They won that ball game outright. They were a 13.5, 14-point underdog at home to Miami. Won that matchup. UCF dominated Auburn. Everybody remembers that. Pittsburgh has not looked good in back-to-back weeks against North Carolina, Penn State a few weeks ago. But this is the type of game Pittsburgh plays well in. Mackenzie Milton, great quarterback, but I look for Pitt to run the football with Olesen. And I think Kenny Pickett moves the football against UCF's defense. They're in this ball game from start to finish. Don't know if they get the outright win, but I see Pitt being a live dog at plus 13.5 in this
matchup. My concern for UCF is defensively. Did not look good in the Florida Atlantic win. I thought they were very soft, missing players like Shaquem Griffin. But, you know, UCF has been waiting for a while for an opportunity to play a Power 5 team.
They played one in the bowl game.
Well, I'm talking about regular season. So, yeah, this matters to UCF. I think they're going to take out a lot of frustration on Pittsburgh. And if there's an opportunity to embarrass the Panthers, they'll do it in the second half.
I go over the number here.
What's the total?
It's 64.5 right now.
I think the over can, I mean, again.
Are Pitt going to, as you just mentioned, are Pitt going to stop UCF? No.
Pitt doesn't traditionally play overs. I mean, with Peterman they did, but lately with Pickett, they can't move the football. They're going to have to run it, but we'll see. I mean, first couple of drives.
You're right, they're not. Their offense has been good, but their defense has been getting gouged. Their defense getting gouged. You know,
Penn State, North Carolina.
Heels, 51 to Penn State. You know, they're giving up a lot of points.
I would not be shocked if UCF goes over 50 in this game. I think Josh Heupel is going to keep his foot on the gas as long as possible.
Mid-40s, low 50s, and then it gets over the number.
I would take the over. I would take Pittsburgh in this ballgame.
I think we're looking at one of these, you know, 51-37, 51.
Could be.
48-34.
I am worried about the UCF defense, which does play into the over conversation.
I would even take Pittsburgh on the money line in this matchup. What are they, plus 380?
Oh, it'll be more than that. Let's see if we get you a you and your money line bold.
I think this is the type of game that Pittsburgh, nobody's expecting Pittsburgh to step up. They've been down. I mean, they struggled against North Carolina.
I know. I was high on Pittsburgh coming into the year, guys. Yeah. I expected more
from their defense. Narduzzi, too. I mean, from a defensive coach, the way they are playing defense, it's unbelievable. 2 years ago, second worst passing defense.
I think he's out at the end of the year. At a minimum, they expected them to look like the Michigan State team, play some blue-collar defense.
They have to go bowling this year, Rich. Yeah, if they don't go bowling, they're in trouble.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. We're just getting started. Keep it where it is. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci live from Studio 34.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back on College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI, Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, breaking down all the top 25 action. We were talking about Georgia and Tennessee. We'll keep it in the SEC between Mississippi State and Florida. Game opened up. Mississippi State is 7-point favorites, now up to around 7.5, 8. Dan Mullen comes back to Starkville, guys. Florida coming off a very impressive win over Tennessee in Knoxville. I was very impressed with the way they played on both sides of the ball, but now going to Starkville, I think it's the physicality of the defense of the Bulldogs, Rich, only giving up 128 rushing yards per game. I like Nicky Fitz in this spot. I think they get a 14-point win over the Gators.
Joe, I kind of like Florida in this game. I think you want to talk money lines. This is a possibility where Florida could win this game outright. Yeah, Dan Mullen recruited a lot of these kids, knows this personnel. I've been impressed with Florida the last 2 weeks, albeit against weaker competition, Colorado State and Tennessee, but defensively, very solid. Mississippi State, I may have overrated them in the offseason because watching them against Kentucky, not impressed last week. Defensively, couldn't stop the run, haven't stopped the run much this year. Offensively, they struggled. So I think this is a close game through all four quarters, getting more than a touchdown. I'll take Florida.
Yeah, when you look at this matchup, Gabe, I mean, total-wise, I mean, it's tricky because Florida has the ability to play lower-scoring games. And when you look at Mississippi State as well, they have the better quarterback, in my opinion. But again, not an elite wide receiver core. So if they fall behind like they did against Kentucky, can they pass to win a ball game?
I look at this football game, and Rich just brought it up, and I was going to go down this same avenue. Listen, I'm a big Dan Mullen fan, and props to Dan Mullen for not leaving Starkville. He had opportunities to go other places. He was patiently waiting for this Florida Gator job. For people unaware, Dan Mullen was the offensive coordinator in the Tim Tebow heyday alongside Urban Meyer. And, you know, Mullen's one of the good guys, actually, that came out of Urban Meyer's crew. There have never been any major controversy around Mullen at all. He knows the program inside out. He knows the weakness of every player, guys. He knows, all right, this linebacker has a hard time tackling to his left. He knows that this DB has a hard time on fade patterns, etc. To me, that's just immense. Morehead doesn't have the same knowledge about the Florida Gator roster as Mullen does. That's an advantage. And I think Mullen is an elite coach. I think, you know, he's a tier two guy. He hasn't, you know, he's not that Dabo. He's not in that Saban and Urban category. But to me, he's big time tier two coach that goes in here, not only covers the number, wins the game outright. And I also think Mississippi State, we see college kids, it's very, very momentum, man. It's like an avalanche. Once the snow starts, you know, snowballing, it gets bigger. I'm not so sure Mississippi State can just shake that one off from last week, guys. You know, they got punched in the mouth, but they got punched in the mouth.
The second half of that match.
Yeah, and I thought they were a little overrated, quite frankly, coming into the year as well. It's like Mississippi State were elevated to like Auburn status or something. They're not quite there yet, guys. Give me the Florida Gators plus the points, and I think Florida can win this game outright.
Both defenses, 16 points per game for Florida, 13 points for Mississippi State. I can't back a high-scoring game. I see Mississippi State getting like a 27-13 win over Florida in this ballgame.
It's possible.
I don't think it's high-scoring.
Yeah, I think it, as it's always been the case with Florida, our big concern is going to be what? Quarterback, right? So what do you get from Felipe Franks? I think you'll see a heavy dose, Joe, of running game, Damian Pierce, Scarlett. I think you'll see the backs really attack Mississippi State, which was weak against the run last week. Benny Snell just dominated with four touchdowns. So Florida's going to have to win on the ground. If it's third and long, you bring up third and long a lot. If it's third and long, that's going to be a big issue for Felipe Franks. He's got a lot of raw talent, but Dan Mullen hasn't gotten him to that point where he's truly a winning, complete quarterback.
More pressure on which coach? Joe Moorhead to knock off Dan Mullen or Dan Mullen to come back with a Florida team that
I think
victory.
It's Moorhead, in my opinion, based on what happened in last weekend. I think he can't lose back-to-back games. To lose at Kentucky the way
team.
He did with this team. Because, I was on Mississippi State. That was one of the teams I loved in the offseason. I really thought they would have been Auburn this year. I thought they would have been the second-best team in the SEC.
Back.
They could. Sure. They have the talent. Yeah. For sure.
You taking the over here, Gabe?
Yeah, I'd look at the over here.
You would? All right. I don't know if I feel strong about that total heading into this matchup.
It'll be a wild scene. I think the fact that Mullen's back in Starkville, that alone is a storyline that's worth watching.
Traditionally very hard. I mean, Alabama struggled there last year, got a 7-point win. They had a deep pass from Hurts.
Those cowbells. Ding, ding, ding.
We'll see. I'm not sold on
I've been there,
team.
And after a late night of drinking, let me tell you.
You've been to Starkville?
Yeah, being in a stadium with 74,000 cowbells at 11 in the morning for an early start after an all-nighter wasn't...
it's not good for a hangover, in other words.
Oh, no. Yeah. And, you know, and it's a dry county. They don't serve alcohol. The SEC, there's no booze at SEC stadiums, number one. It's a conference rule. There used to be, but it got out of
hand.
How
long ago was that, though, that you were in Starkville?
I was there, I don't know, it was probably about 12 years ago. Ironically enough, and I didn't know this, it was Eric Mould's day. And I'm a Bills fan,
yeah,
so by chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw LSU and Mississippi State.
Wait, Miles at that?
Les Miles and
Justin Vincent was the
It wasn't there? Jamarcus Russell. I'll look up the quarterback tree. It was...
Booty? Could have been Booty.
No. It was a brother.
Matty Mock?
No.
Well, we'll figure it out in a little bit. We'll talk about
I took Mississippi State, LSU.
Did they cover?
LSU won, but we covered.
Did you?
I had a great time, too. I got smashed at like a student bar after. Good times, good times.
All right, let's talk about some 12 o'clock bets. I have two. I have NC State against Virginia. I think they bounce back here. Again, I've been all wrong on Virginia. Was right at them on the start of the year, but now, last week, they disappointed me. They got the win over Louisville. I picked the Cardinals as a 6.5-point underdog in that matchup. Did not get the win. Now they go on the road to face Ryan Finley. The line opened up at 8. It's down to 5.5, 6. I like NC State. They impressed me with a road win over Marshall. Think they have the better defense in this matchup. And I'm taking a huge underdog at 12 o'clock. I love Arkansas over Texas A&M. Couple of factors. Texas A&M has won the last 5 games over the Razorbacks by 10.5 points per game. Picked up this victory last year by 7 points, 50-43. But I look at Texas A&M, back-to-back games over 3 weeks now. Clemson, Alabama, they played well last week. Got the cover, but again, are they beat up? This is a rivalry game. Arkansas catching a huge number of 20.5. I think they're in this game from start to finish, Rich.
I could see Arkansas covering rivalry game. Yeah. They've been close lately. I mean, Arkansas is awful, as we know, this year. But Texas A&M, you know, a bit of a letdown maybe after the Alabama game. They've played some emotional games, Clemson, Alabama. Jimbo's doing a good job there, but I could see that covering. Virginia, NC State, bit of a toss-up game. I like NC State. I like Ryan Finley in the underrated quarterback matchup. Bryce Perkins versus Ryan Finley. Virginia, by the way, 4-0 against the spread this year. So
I'm leaning with the dog here at Mendenhall's crew.
Bronco's done a good job. I mean, he's a classic case. You know, a lot of people overreacting to coaches off the slow starts, whether it's Chip Kelly or Willie Taggart. Bronco Mendenhall was 2-10 in his first season, he's gradually turning things around. Sometimes you have to be patient.
They were 300-1 to win the ACC at the start of the year.
Crazy.
They were 300-1. To win. I mean, they're playing
UVA.
UVA was it. So, I mean.
Well, and you know what? To your pick
UVA
about.
Plus the points.
Yeah, Jordan Mack, key linebacker, out for Virginia. So that helps out
Not gonna
NC
be easy,
State.
Though. I mean, Virginia's a gutty team.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be easy, but NC State's got the better quarterback. Finley, to me, has been terrific. I think he's going to make a very good NFL quarterback. My best bets, real quick, because we haven't talked about them, smaller type of games. I like Temple getting points from BC. It's too many points. I've watched that Temple defense. Now, Temple was awful in the first couple of games, but that defense gradually, Quincy Roche up front, Archibong up front, Rocky Asin, cornerback. These are names that you don't hear about now, but you'll hear about them in the combine in a couple of years. That defense is getting much better, and BC got exposed last week against Purdue 30-7. Didn't just lose, they were awful. So close to two touchdowns. I saw two touchdowns at the beginning of the week, but that's a lot of points for Temple. I think some money is maybe going on Temple lately, but.
But they're playing better under Russo. Now, who gets the start?
Well, Neutile is healthy, and I think that helps, too. I'd rather have Neutile because he's the veteran over Russo, but Neutile apparently is getting close to 100%. Hopefully, he plays.
Closing at 13 points as kickoff.
I would take the points. Temple defense is really.
I mean, physicality-wise, they can go toe-to-toe with BC. I mean, that's the matchup. You want to get into a low slugfest, fight it in a phone booth if you're the Owls.
Anthony Brown, the BC quarterback.
Plus 375 with the Owls.
That's not a bad dog.
Plus 375. My early pick, I'm going to stick to my guns.
One more, right?
One more. Real quick, because I love it. I love
this game?
Kansas. I love Kansas in this game. I really do. Now, listen, Oklahoma State, three key starters out. Dylan Stoner won't play. Calvin Bundage, best defensive player at linebacker, won't play. Darian Daniels in the middle of that line won't play. Kansas, the one thing we've learned is they're a better team, obviously, than they've been in recent years. Didn't play that poorly in losing on the road in Waco to Baylor last week, 26-7. Last time they were home, 55-14 over Rutgers. And Oklahoma State, obviously the more talented team, but they have to have a little bit of a residual effect after getting pounded by Texas Tech. So Puka Williams and Kansas. 18.5 points.
Stones.
Too many.
Cajones.
I think,
for.
I could see it. I mean, it wouldn't shock.
I think it's a closer game. It's a lot of points.
58-17, 44-20, and 58-10 last three
Kansas
times they played them.
It's like Syracuse Clemson. I think this it's a slightly different Kansas team, in my opinion.
I mean, I understand the pick. I just couldn't. I can't pull the trigger with Kansas in this matchup.
All right, so I'm going to I'm walking right into the trap, considering the last time the Cuse went up there to Death Valley, the orange got squeezed into orange juice. They got squeezed. They lost 54-0, but this is a different Clemson football team. They're not going to roll over. They're not going to quit. And it doesn't take much. With the quarterback change with Lawrence coming in here, I am expecting Clemson to put up 45, 48 points, but we're getting 25.5 points, guys. Can Syracuse give me 24 points? Yeah, I think they can. And truth be told, I wouldn't be shocked if Syracuse hang around a little bit in this game and only lose by 14 or 17 points. I don't think they're going to win the game outright. It's a revenge spot, so the kids on Clemson are going to the Cuse will have their attention after losing last year to them. But I think the game's going to be a track meet. Clemson are going to score. With Lawrence now, they can really stretch the field and throw the ball down the field. As I stated, I really do expect Clemson to get 48 points or so, 45, 48 points. Won't take much from Syracuse. And the number's actually coming down a little bit right now. Some 63.5s popping up on the board. So, I'm back up to 64.5. But we're going to take Syracuse plus the points, and we're going to go the over in this game. And a quick bonus pick. So we'll go, we're going to take Texas Tech plus the points, any over in that game as well. Some early picks.
1:12 o'clock that I just want to, just quick rapid fire.
Buffalo Army. Didn't get to that one either.
I'm
thinking Buffalo. I know people are talking Army.
I would take Buffalo just because of the emotional letdown after the game against Oklahoma and Norman.
I don't think those kids, though, they're a little different. It reminds me of the BYU
catching
kids.
Catching 7.5.
Sometimes those academies, they don't really have letdowns. Nah, those are mature kids. They bounce back. They're ready to go to war. They don't think about letdowns.
Tough, yeah. We talk about the Mormons being tough and BYU. This is another level. Exactly.
They're catching 7.5. How about Indiana Rutgers? I would close my eyes and take Rutgers.
Would you take Rutgers? I would take Indiana. I just can't.
They lost 41-0 last year.
Who?
Rutgers did.
Yeah, I don't base too much on the prior year. Everything changes year to year. Indiana's a pretty good football team, a little better than I thought this season.
They impressed me in that loss last week against
Michigan State. Yeah, I think Tom Allen's doing a good job in Indiana. I can't buy anything Rutgers these days. I mean, they're just a rapidly sinking ship. I think it's, what, about 16? It's more than
14 and a half.
Yeah, 14 and a half.
I'm not laying it with the road on the road here.
Yeah, for me, it's not a priority game, but if I had to, I would take Indiana.
That's the definition as our good friend and colleague, Joe, Mark Lawrence, the ugly dog.
How about this over? Central Michigan, Michigan State, they're 28.5-point underdogs. Total is 47.5. Would you... I like Michigan State.
Yeah, if a team is favored by that much and a total is that low, you got to believe Michigan State. Michigan State better be able to kill these guys. This is the worst Chippewa team in recent memory.
They could put up a 50 spot on them. Get the cover themselves in terms of 50-3.
LJ Scott not healthy. I'm not sure it matters.
Would you take Michigan State?
Yeah, if I had to, I don't like putting money on bad teams.
No, but I'm just saying, just pick the game. I mean, it's not a best bet, but if you had to pick a side.
That guy would take Michigan State.
You would take Michigan
State. If I had to, I'd lay the points as well.
I would take the total, though. I mean, the total's low.
There's too many games. We're not all as rich as you, Joe. I can't bet every game.
But, I mean, we got to go. I mean, there's three other games. We're still touch on them. We're not going to agree.
No, I know.
There, you know. One more game that I'm just looking at, Georgia Tech, Bowling Green. I would take Georgia Tech in that
matchup. Just, a quick number on that. I mean, Bowling Green's got arguably the worst run defense in the country.
333 rushing yards
allowed. Bowling Green run defense is a complete sieve. Now you go up against a Georgia Tech team that's desperate. Paul Johnson got the dreaded vote of confidence this week. He needs to pound somebody just to gain a little bit of momentum.
How
so I could see Georgia Tech covering that four touchdowns.
I can't believe he's still there. I mean, if he goes 5-7 this year.
I think it's time to move on.
Georgia keeps winning.
Listen, I never was a huge Paul Johnson fan. He has his moments. When you least expect it, he wins 9 games and then he saves his job. That's the Paul Johnson philosophy. You got to go in a different direction. You're not recruiting the right kinds of kids. And Georgia and South Carolina, North Carolina, that region of the country is loaded with talent.
Yeah, Kentucky's up and coming in the Southeastern Conference. You like any totals at 12 o'clock outside the ones that we mentioned?
No, just the two. And I'm looking here. Any other late games people asking about? We got Army, Temple. No, the late last second here before the 12 o'clock kickoff. We got pretty much caught up to date on everything. People want to talk about the Mississippi State game, in which we did. But no, you know, the game, this board is sort of spread out. The main events are really tonight in prime time. Let's be real, with Ohio State, Penn State, and, of course, Notre Dame and Stanford. Tonight's the big night.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with Oklahoma State, Kansas. Rich likes Kansas. I would take the shot with the over here. I mean, you got to think that.
What's the number, Joe?
60.5. 60.5, I mean, you got to figure Oak State can at least score 30. I mean, let's say Kansas is in the game defensively, they're going to –
you bring up defense, which is a good point, too, and I wanted to touch on that, too. Kansas's defense has been better than expected this year, at least an improvement, you know, from what we're accustomed to. So Kansas defensively, led by Joe Dineen, their linebacker, has done a pretty good job. I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here, but I think Kansas could pull the upset in this game.
Well,
I really
have
momentum.
Do. They're a team that can believe that they can play now. They won back-to-back games for the first time since how long? It's got to be over 15. Well,
I wonder about Oklahoma State. That shocked me. I did not see that coming.
The
I thought Oklahoma
lost.
State
I didn't
got
see
blown
them
out
beating
in
Central
matchup.
Michigan. It was 46 games in a row against FBS opponents.
No, I'm talking Oklahoma State last week. That outcome against Oklahoma State really shocked me because it was – not only did they lose at home, but it was 41-17.
Yeah, they
did
got blown
not
out.
Expect to see that.
And Jalen McCleskey transferred.
Good point. I would take
Kansas plus the points in this spot.
I'm not talking you in because I'm going to feel bad if I talked you into it.
I can see Kansas with the points covering. I like the over. Out of both of those, I would take the over in that matchup. I think if you're going to get Oklahoma State to bounce back, they jump up on Kansas. But Kansas could be confident heading into this matchup, so we'll see.
Want to talk about the Hawaii game later on the other side. We'll pick that up on the back. That's an interesting one. How about Hawaii? 4-1 already.
Yeah, they're playing San Jose State. They're 10-point favorites against the Spartans. They're on the road in that matchup. Keep it where it is. We got an hour left. 12 o'clock kicks are just starting. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci live from Studio 34.